And so as we continue our Lenten walk through the last week of Jesus' life, today we are at the day that is Thursday. It is the account of Jesus. It ends with his arrest and some events that happened that night until midnight. The story of Thursday itself is a long story. We will share it in its entirety on Maundy Thursday. I hope you'll come back for that service. But rather than read all of those events, today we're going to focus on the early events of the evening. Something that I believe provides the lens through which we can understand the rest of what happened that night. So would you come share with us?
Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 25. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
My hunch is that in your family of origin, your extended family, that meals are an important part of that. They mark important times together. You may gather together for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter meals. You may have family reunions where there's a big potluck where everybody brings food. It may be that when somebody's home from college, you make sure that you fix their favorite meal. I've even seen funeral dinners where we get a fixed meal for family after a funeral where the family themselves will bring a special dish, because the person that they're remembering always made this thing, this special thing. How we eat and who we eat with really is important to us. It helps create who we are. And in the Gospel of Mark, Mark understands that. And he uses meals to help us understand who Jesus was, as Jesus did himself. I mean, Jesus is all about meals. Jesus taught at meals. Banquets were part of his parables, and who he ate with was a political statement that was often opposed by those who were against him. Jesus ate with the marginalized and outcast in society, where you were judged by who you sat down to eat with. Meals were important. And so the first thing that Mark is teaching us about this meal that you heard Jamie read to you about is that it's important. If Jesus is sitting down to a table, it's Mark's way of putting it in bold print, in red print. Pay attention to this. This is important because it has food attached to it. But there's more going on than just simply it being an important meal. There's a hint of secrecy to it also. And I want to talk about that by looking at the part that was right before where Jamie started to read in Mark chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. So then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to them. And when they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So Judas began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Judas is actively seeking to begin those cascading events that will culminate in the cross. And Jesus knows that. We know that Jesus is aware of that. And so Jesus wants to make sure that this meal happens. And so there is secrecy. Jesus sends two of his disciples saying, okay, I want you to go into the city and you'll find a man carrying a jar of water and follow him. And then wherever he goes, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where's the guest room that I'm having Passover with my disciples? And it's pretty top secret. It kind of sounds like, look for the man wearing the red carnation in his lapel and he will give you the note with the code words on it. Why the secrecy? Jesus was not very secret. His ministry was in public. In fact, when he is arrested, one of the things that he says is, why do you arrest me here now? I was out in public. You could have found me anytime. Why the secrecy about this meal? Jesus knows that Judas is seeking for the right time to betray him. And Jesus wants to make sure that Judas is not able to interfere with this meal. It is important. Bold type, yes. Red print, yes. This needs to happen. Of everything else that will unfold, Jesus wants to make sure that this meal happens. And so what happens at this meal? Well, what does he do with the bread? He takes it, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it. He takes it, he breaks it, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it. I'm going to play Bible quiz with you for a minute. Where else in Scripture did Jesus do that with food? That he took it, and then he blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it out to everybody. Where was that? The feeding of the 5,000, exactly. And in the feeding of the 5,000, it didn't seem like there was enough. And yet in Jesus' hands, once he takes it and blesses it and breaks it and gives it away, there was more than enough. The same actions happen in this meal. There was more than enough. More than enough what? Okay, well, to get at that, we're going to go backwards in the meal because I skipped over the uncomfortable part. So when you have family meals, you may know that there are topics that you do not talk about. I was always raised, you did not talk about religion, politics, or sex at the family dinner table. And when we would have our relatives that we didn't know so well coming, Mom always made sure to remind us of that. Remember, you know, we don't talk about these. Okay. Well, Jesus kind of violates that. Not the last one, but he's sitting around at this lovely meal that he has wanted to make sure happened, had the secrecy to make sure they were able to have it. And what does he say to them? But truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. You know, Jesus, we'd rather have you talk about religion, politics, or sex rather than say that. And he goes on, because they're saying, no, it's not me, is it? And Jesus says, it's one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And it's one of you sitting at the table with me. Now that will destroy a dinner party really quickly. But Jesus said that. Mark records that. And I want you to hear that now. Because it was enough for Jesus to share bread with the one who was going to betray him. It was enough. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, take, this is my body. And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from them. He said, this is my blood of the covenant, which I poured out for many. He did those things after the whole one of you is going to betray me, and I know it thing, and he still gave them the bread and the cup. This is my body, this is my blood, And it is enough. It is enough. What else happened that night? After the meal, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus tells them that they will become deserters. Then Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him not once, not twice, but three times. Then when Jesus goes to pray in the garden, he says only one thing. Will you please just stay awake with me? This is a tough night. Will you stay awake? And they fell asleep, not just once, not just twice, but three different times. And then Judas arrives, and Jesus is arrested. And so then the disciples flee immediately. And then, as was predicted, Peter betrays Jesus, not once, not twice, not but three times. All of those things happened after this meal. What do we learn from history? What out of all of those things that happened on that Monday, Thursday, that Thursday night, what of those things still stands? Well, so Peter denied Jesus three times, but after the resurrection, Jesus forgave Peter three times, so that one was done. The disciples fled, leaving Jesus to the authorities on Thursday night, but then they came back together in those hours of those earliest hours of Easter, and then by the time we get to Pentecost, they were together again in a room, and the Holy Spirit came on them and empowered them to start the church of which we are now a part of. And so the disciples' story does not end with them fleeing, but instead we carry it on as we are part of that church. So the fleeing didn't stand. Even Judas' betrayal, where Jesus was handed over into the hands of those who wanted to do him harm, even that action resulted in the biggest reversal of history, because what they meant for harm, God used for incredible good and redemption for all of us through the resurrection. So even Judas, his action didn't stand. Out of everything that happened that Thursday night, what is the one thing that we come together every week to remember? That when Jesus sat down with his disciples, he took the bread and gave thanks to God and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." You see, God's power is such that it's not the bad stuff, it's not the negative stuff that lasts. It is the powerful, self-giving love of Jesus that always is the thing that lasts, is the thing for each one of us. And there is power in that bread. There is power in that cup. That's why we call it a sacrament in the Methodist Church, because we believe that Jesus acts through this gift. When you hear the words of invitation every time, you hear me say that this table does not belong to me. It doesn't belong to this church, but it belongs to Jesus Christ. So you don't have to be a member of this church or any church, because Jesus longs to meet you at this table. You never hear me say, "All of you that are perfect, come on down. We've got food for you, and the rest of you stay." No, of course not. Because Jesus shared that first meal with people who are going to betray him, people who are going to deny him, people who are going to flee in terror as soon as hard times came along. And he still shared that meal with them, and he still shares that meal with us too, in all of the ways that we fail and betray Jesus, we still are invited to this meal. There is power in that meal. I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've come to this meal and I have been tired or discouraged or feeling unconnected from God in some way, and something about that bread and that cup, Jesus works through that, and I rise from that table renewed and reconnected and reinvigorated. There are times where I know, having received this gift, that once again I am received fully into God's love and I am empowered to go forth from there. There is power in this meal for me and for you too. And so my hope today is that as we share in this meal together, as we share in this bread that is broken for us, we will be united because of the blood that was shed for us. So come to this meal ready, expectant for what Christ has, not for me or for the person sitting next to you, but what Christ has for you as you come this morning. Will you pray with me? Oh God, on the night when you could have done anything else, you did this for us. We thank you for this gift of bread and cup, even as we seek forgiveness for the many times that we have betrayed you or turned our back on you or fallen asleep when you wanted us to be awake with you. Renew us and give us new hope and new life as we share in this sacrament today. Amen. And so, as we prepare to pray the prayer for this sacrament, rather than using the full great thanksgiving, I want to use the words that you've already heard read, that we've already talked about, the words as Mark records them that Jesus used. So while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he took it and he broke it. And he gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Will you pray with me? Oh Christ, so fill these gifts of yours with your power and your spirit, that as we share in them this morning, we truly are sharing in your body and your blood. Renew us, touch our hearts in ways that we can't even begin to know, so that we will rise from this table ready to live anew in your love, serving your world in your name. And bring us to that day when we will share in this meal with you in your heavenly kingdom. In your holy name we pray. Amen.